Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And hello, everyone, and welcome back to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us either on the radio dial or online through blogtalkradio.com or through our friends in Milwaukee at creamcityradio.com. Really excited you guys could be with us this hour. Have two great guests that are going to be coming up, and also a special guest that's joining us at the first part of our show as well. Antoinette Van Houten is making her first appearance here on our show to talk to us not only about her love of writing, but what it's been like for her to share that with the world. Also joining us is Antoinette's agent. It's Al Zuckerman. He'll be on with us as well to talk about this journey. The new book that I read is The Tulip Eaters. We'll talk a little bit about the storyline, what it was like for Antoinette to kind of take readers on this journey, but also what she hopes you as readers are able to take away from it as well. At 25 minutes past the hour, we'll head over to our radio side of the show for our musical moment. That's followed at the bottom of the hour when I'll be welcoming back author Dan O'Brien. He'll be here to talk to us about one of my favorite books that he's written, and he's written so many, but Bitten is the book that I had the opportunity to blurb. We'll talk to him a little bit about the success of the book, as well as when you guys may can expect to hear about book number two, something that I'm excited about in his series. As I said, it's going to be a great hour. Glad you all could join us for the program. To get things kicked off, Antoinette Van Houten is here, as well as Al Zuckerman. Antoinette and Al, thank you so much for being on with us.
Thank you for having us.
Well, Antoinette, I'll start with you on this, because as I was telling you before we went live here, I really enjoyed the book, and I think what I enjoyed so much about it is the way that you're not only able to take the reader along this journey, but also I think you kind of give us a glimpse as to the question that a lot of us wonder when we're hearing news stories, and that is, what would we do? What has it been like for you to be able to see the way that people are responding to the book?
Well, the book just came out, although there have been a number of reviews, and it's been actually very positive overall. I've had a number of good reviews and people who have found the book hard to put down, which is always a goal, and also found the historical elements in the book that deal with the Dutch resistance and the Dutch Nazis very compelling. And that was my purpose, to present this particular era in this story in the context of a thriller.
Yeah, and you've definitely done that. I have not read your first book, Antoinette, something that I'll put on my to-do list, but what I did notice was when I was prepping for this segment, you have a great video using social media like all of us do, but also YouTube, and being able to speak to your readers, and you were thanking them about the success of the debut and the way that people have responded to it. In the acknowledgments for this book, you actually recognize Al, and you say about him that you cannot imagine writing without him. Al, what has it been like for you to be able to see the way that not only Antoinette's been able to share her gift, but also the way that readers are responding?
It's certainly pleasing. I mean, I've been helping authors for almost 40 years, and so it's not a new or shocking thing to me I'm sort of a book doctor. Or maybe a book doctor is not the right word. Maybe it's a sort of a remedial construction person who comes in and says, "Well, this wall is a little crooked. We got to straighten it out." Or this door should be on the other side. Or I don't know. It's books are structures. I mean, they have to work the way a car or an airplane works.
And especially
in books that are written for entertainment, which a book like this is. It's a skill that I used to teach writing when I was much, much younger, and now instead of doing it in a classroom, I do it with people who write books.
And it's definitely coming through with Antoinette mentioned. Antoinette, you went on to say, I only mentioned a part of what you had written about Al, but you started it by saying, talking about the agony that he puts you through with every novel.
It's pure torture, pure torture. He makes me outline every book, and we go back and forth, and I believe he does this with all of his authors, not just to torture me in particular, but for 6 or 8 months even, we will go back and forth with an outline, and you will have a large volume of Al's notes. He is much more my editor than my agent, although he is also a wonderful agent, but he is my writing partner in that sense, and that's why I said I cannot imagine writing a book without him. But he does torture me.
Yeah, he does. Well, you know what? I think as Al was saying, I think we all kind of need someone to kind of nudge us along, to push us along. But Antoinette, when did you first realize that writing was something, even before you were introduced to Al, when did you first realize that writing was something that you at least wanted to do or wanted to share?
When I was 8 years old, I wanted to be a writer because I spent time in the library at the card catalog, and I wanted one of my books with my names on the shelves.
Wow.
But I actually didn't seriously start writing until I quit practicing law. I was an international trial lawyer for 15 years. And after that, my husband and I have 3 autistic boys, and one of them, this is about the book Saving Max that you told me you're going to read now,
mm-hmm.
and this is a thriller about an Asperger's boy in a psychiatric hospital with another Asperger's boy who is killed, and the first one is blamed for the murder. So that's when I really wanted to write my story, because I had this experience with my son in a psychiatric hospital that I turned into a book, which was very cathartic for me because it was a very stressful time.
Wow. Well, so when that book did do well then, was that a validation for you, Antoinette, that not only did you have a gift that people were recognizing, but also that you had a distinctive voice that people wanted to hear more from?
It was more than validation. It was beyond my wildest expectations that the book sold as well as it did, and the wonderful, wonderful readers that I have who have emailed me, also parents of autistic children, grandfathers of autistic grandchildren. You know, it's been such a rewarding experience, and I'm still stunned by it.
Well, I think that is something that comes through in this book as well, which we're going to talk a little bit more about. For those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. Antoinette Van Houten, and as well as Al Zuckerman, her agent and editor, are joining us today. We're talking about not only Antoinette's career as a writer, but also her journey that she takes readers on with her new book, The Tulip Eaters. Now, this book, what I thought was so interesting as someone who loves history, Antoinette, is that it gives us, I think, a period of time where we're able to kind of look at these characters, led by, of course, Nora, and wonder to ourselves, what would we do in a situation like she finds herself in? Was it easy for you to do that with her, to take someone who, you know, could be strong yet vulnerable and really take her on this journey where she was not only looking for the truth for herself but also for her family?
It actually was one of the easier parts of writing the novel. It's never easy to write a novel, but this was easier for me because I had in my mind's eye my mother, who is very much that kind of person, a very independent, a very courageous person, and it's because of her and my father that I did this research in the first place 30 years ago in Holland. They were both in the Dutch resistance, and I went to Holland and lived in Amsterdam for 2 years and studied at the Dutch War Institute, wrote a thesis on the Dutch resistance. And then when it came time to write a second novel, I thought, I ran across these notes from so many years ago and decided I wanted to weave that story into a thriller.
Yeah. Al, when you first heard about the idea for the Tulip Eaters, what were your thoughts about the story?
I thought it was a terrific idea. I thought it was a good follow-up to Nettie's earlier novel, and I thought it was kind of fresh, different. But given the fact that it was also a mother-centered story about a woman who is not only looking into the past but also is searching for her abducted child, she is again writing a novel that has great appeal to women, and it's women who buy most of the fiction in America, And so that so although the story is, you know, stems from something that's near and dear to her heart, in terms of business, it has, I think, a lot of commercial appeal. And I think the women who liked the first book are going to enjoy this one a great deal.
Right. You know, Antoinette, probably to me one of the most powerful scenes in the book, and since Al also mentioned it, and I think you and I had talked about it, it was okay to kind of talk about some of what Nora is going through. There, you have a way of kind of putting us, as I said, and the reason I said you make us ask the question, what do we do, is, you know, as someone who's not a parent, I cannot imagine what it's like to have your child taken. I just can't imagine that. But you put us in a situation where Nora is face-to-face with someone who says that they are with the people who took her daughter, and they're giving her this choice of either she can stay and know what's going to happen to the child or leave. What was that like for you to kind of take that journey with her as a mother yourself? What was it like for you to take that journey with Nora and to then, of course, think about the real decision that she had to make?
I think I have a very deep sense myself of what it's like to be a mother. I've, especially because I have special needs children, but any parent has this feeling, any mother does. And I just imagined what would have happened if my young child had been, at 6 months, taken from my arms after I find my mother brutally murdered on the living room floor with a dead stranger next to her. And then just to follow those feelings through when, you know, the police come and everything is moving so slowly and that baby is out of your arms and you yearn for that child and no one is doing anything. They're not doing it fast enough. And so she had to act. And so I connect very well with a woman like that because, frankly, that's what I would do. I would do something crazy enough to do the crazy things that she did. Maybe not all of them.
Maybe not all of them. But, you know, I guess, again, that's the question. You know, who knows? Who knows what you would do in that situation? You know, just as you did, and you even referenced this, Antoinette, you did, you know, great research for this book. Al, you know, the character Nora does a great deal of research of her own. Do you think the appeal of Nora, Al, especially from a male perspective, because I felt this reading the book, is that it really kind of becomes a genderless journey in a sense that, you know, I think any parent.
Did you say genderless?
Yes, because I think any parent, whether it's the mother or the father, would want to do whatever they could to be able to bring some type of safe return or safe closure to their situation. Do you think that's one of the things that guys will be able to get from this story?
Well, I think that the readers like to read about people who are larger than life and who do extraordinary things, whether they are men or women. And in both of these novels that Antoinette has written, the heroine in both does totally extraordinary things that a normal woman would just never do. And that's what makes these characters so intriguing, exciting, passionate, and that's what I think did attract an enormous number to her first book, and I think she'll have similar results with this one. I mean, it's a book you can't put down because this woman does things that are larger than life.
Right. You know, Al mentioned that a couple of times, Antoinette, and of course this book is set in a time that many people may not be able to initially relate to, but do you think, Antoinette, that when they start reading it and take this experience with the characters, that they understand that when it comes to issues of the heart, the issues of family, and also, of course, trying to get to a place where you can feel safe, that that's something that goes beyond whatever year it is?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think this, the historical facts in this book make it more interesting, but I think you're absolutely right. That is the key.
And it's the key, I think, that readers, I think, even if you're not into what some may consider, you know, historical fiction or fiction that deals with a time, you know, that seems so different than ours, I think the connection is there definitely as the characters are going through. There's that one place where Nora even wonders herself, where is she? Even she's wondering, you know, in the 1940s where she is because of the way that people are handling things. And I think a lot of times, you know, we kind of see that ourselves where we kind of wonder, you know, what kind of a world are we living in when we see the way that people are responding. I want to just talk as in general now as an author for a moment, Antoinette, about this experience. You have this enormous success with the first book that I am going to read, Saving Max. Now, of course, we have the new book, The Tulip Eaters. Did you feel any extra pressure with this one? Did you feel the pressure of having to live up to the expectation that was set with such a strong debut?
I did and I didn't. I think I obviously started writing this before I knew what a success Saving Max was going to be. So that part didn't enter into it then. I think anybody, any author, and I'm sure you've had this too, when you write a book that sells so extremely well, and because it was my debut novel, that I did feel pressure to try to make the second book as interesting, as compelling, and as good of a thriller that I could. But yes, there was extra pressure there. I think that's only natural.
Elle, I'll ask you, because you have been doing this for so long, you know, when you think about an author who, you know, has done so well right out the gate. I know I talk to recording artists and authors all the time who their very first whatever they put out just goes crazy. And then they're like, you know, the obvious question from people like myself is always, when's the next one coming out? And there's the idea of, you know, meeting up to that. You know, what is that like for you, Al, to see how something can be so successful right from the very beginning, and what that must do for an author's confidence about, you know, what they're sharing?
Well, authors have traditionally have had a very, very, very hard time. I mean, in the 1950s and 60s, there were two authors. One of them wrote a book called Mr. Roberts, set in World War II on a battleship or a destroyer in the Pacific, which was a big success as a book, a big success as a play, a big success as a movie. And this poor man killed himself because he just didn't think he could ever write anything as good as that. And there was another author who wrote a book called Rain Tree County around the same time who had the same experience. And since then, you can think of a book like The Bridges of Madison County, which was a huge, huge success. And the author's written several books since then, and they haven't sold. So it's very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Nettie had me. I was able to help her. So we were able to put together, you know, a book that in many ways is as good or better than the first. But a lot of authors left to their own resources just can't do it.
Yeah. Well, Al, let me stay with you for another moment here and ask you this. And is that then another reason why, you know, because, you know, publishing has changed so much, even over the 10 years I've done this show, and you know, especially over the length of your career, has changed so much. The way that we read has changed. The way that books can be published has changed. Do you think that's why it's so important to have people like you in the corner of the author, to be that sounding board, to be that support, and to also to help them along the experience as to what to expect? And what they can deliver.
Well, yes, I think it is good. Unfortunately, most of the people who are doing this kind of work, whether they are agents or whether they are editors in publishing houses, don't really have the tools or the knowledge or the know-how to do this kind of thing. I mean, I started as a playwright. I taught playwriting for 5 years, which was basically teaching structure to, you know, graduate students. Mm-hmm. I published a couple of novels. I wrote 3 television soap operas. I mean, I had a lot of experience as a writer, so that when I got into And in fact, actually, the reason I became an agent was because I lost my job And I had had agents, and I just said, well, gee, I could help writers more than the agents that have represented me. And it turned out that I could, and now I have a, you know, a company that employs 50 people, and we represent probably 1,000 authors, and, you know, it's all because we have this kind of technical knowledge that comes from, you know, how the guts of a book really work that a lot of people just don't.
Right. And I think that is the thing. And that brings us back to where we are today. For those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. Best-selling author Antoinette Van Houten is making her first appearance here on our program. We also are joined by her agent and also editor, Al Zuckerman. He's with us as well. We're discussing not only Antoinette's literary journey, but also her newest book, The Tulip Eaters. We'll be telling you guys here in a moment how you can get your own copy of the book. There are a lot of revelations that come along this along in this book. Antoinette, one of the things that I think, too, is so great, if I was thinking about a conversation piece to discuss with people, is, you know, the inner strength that Nora had, but also what she was able to do with the truth. You know, the truth is not always pretty, even though people, you know, talk about the importance of the truth. When there was that one part of the book when Nora came to realization about her own father and having to try to understand what that could mean. What may have been the truth about him. You know, that is not something that's always easy. If you had to say what you hope readers, though, are able to take away from Nora's journey, both physically, the journey that she took on this, you know, to be able to save her daughter and in many ways to save herself, but also I think it was an emotional journey as well. What would you hope that readers take away from it that they could then be able to kind of share with other people?
I think I would like readers to really get the feel for the multi-generational mother and daughter relationship in the novel and how that love took Nora through this journey to find the truth. And one thing I admire so much about the truth about Nora is that she will have the truth. She will not settle for anything less than the absolute truth, even if it destroys her image of her parents, her knowledge of her parents. And I admire that very much about her. So I think looking at Annika, the mother, and Nora, and Rose, and watching this multi-generational journey and how it ends and comes together, that's what I'd like them to get out of the book.
Elle, as you were reading The Tulip Eaters, you know, what message did you leave the book with?
Well, I guess the main message to me is the indomitability of the heroine. The, you know, she's Joan of Arc in a way, and the fact that somebody can be that what shall I say, powerful, that to you know, she gives up on the police and goes against everybody's advice to go out into a country that she knows but hardly knows really, and undertakes to do dangerous police work. I mean, it's breathtaking, and that's the message I get. The message is you know, the power that can reside inside a human soul, whether it's a man or woman.
Yeah, and I think that is the great thing about it. Now, I mentioned earlier, Antoinette, about readers, after reading Saving Max, I'm sure wanted to know when was the next one coming out. Do you think you've seen the last of these characters that we meet in The Tulip Eaters? Do you think there is another chapter of Rose's story you'd like to pursue, or anyone in the book that came to you through the process that you would like to see continuing their own journey?
I don't anticipate the characters in Tulip Eaters being repeated, but what I'm working on right now is the sequel to Saving Max called Finding Marianne. The villain escapes from the first book, so I really enjoy the characters in that first novel, so I will very much enjoy writing them again in the sequel, which I think will be very interesting for people who read Saving Max.
So see, now you're putting more pressure on me, Antoinette. Now I have to go back.
You're going to have to buy the third one now. I'm
going to have to go back and read Save Max now, especially because you told me now the third book is going to be tied to the, yeah, I definitely have to do it. Well, I will add that one to my reading list and get everyone, you're listening to Conversations Live. Antoinette Van Houten has been our guest, along with her agent and editor and friend, Al Zuckerman. They've been joining us today. Antoinette, congratulations on the book. How can our listeners stay in contact with you as well as get their own copy of it?
My website is avh.com. I'm sorry, avhbooks.com. And I am on Facebook as well as Twitter just under my name, Antoinette Van Houten.
All right, so they can definitely find you there. Well, this has really been a great fun to be able to end the month with you guys and also to have you come on the show to talk to us, not only about this book, but also the process. Al, thank you so much for taking out the time to be with us as well. Last question goes to you, Antoinette, and this one that I try to ask all of our guests that come on the show because I think you have something to offer for those who are tuning in. What advice would you give to anybody, whether it's, you know, individuals who are interested in writing or just have something they want to pursue? What advice, based on your own experience, would you like to give to them about the importance of being true to their passion and not letting go of it?
I think you have to understand that this business is very difficult to break into, if not impossible in lots of cases these days. I think you have to be extremely persistent. You have to keep faith in your abilities and in your passion. I rewrote Saving Max 23 times because I didn't have Al all the way there. But I think you have to just go with your passion. Please get a reader, professional reader. And then if you are very, very lucky, maybe you get an agent like Al. But I've got him, so hands off most people.
Well, Al, another compliment for you there. Al, would you say the same about the importance of just going for it?
Yes and no. I mean, I think there are, you know, it's like some people, you wouldn't tell someone who is tone deaf that they should keep working and then they're going to learn to be a good pianist or violinist or something. I mean, there has to be a gift for language, for understanding people. Not everybody, no matter how much work they do, can write a book. Or
yeah.
Any more than not everybody can write a symphony or play the guitar or win the Olympics. I mean, people are gifted in different ways, but if you feel that you are gifted with understanding how people work and gifted with the use of language, then you want to publish a book, then you have to try again, and then you have to seek out criticism from knowledgeable people. And you have to, subject you, when you give it to your friends. You have to tell them, I don't want to hear what you like. I want to hear what you don't like about this work. And if you listen carefully to what they don't like, and you have these gifts, then you can improve and do it.
All right. Well, great advice from two individuals that definitely know. Again, everyone, best-selling author Antoinette Van Houten has been with us, as well as agent and editor Al Zuckerman. Thanks to the two of you for coming on and spending some time with us. And it goes without saying, you're both welcome back here anytime, especially Antoinette after I read Saving Max.
Well, you let me know when you've read Saving Max, and I'll come right back.
Okay, I will hold you to that. For our listeners joining us on the radio dial, stay with us. It's going to take a very quick break here. Our online listeners, stay with us as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have also award-winning author Dan O'Brien will be joining us to talk to us about his literary journey and also the book that I tell everybody about, Bitten. You're joining us here on the radio at 92.3 FM, online through blogtalkradio.com, as well as through our good friends in Milwaukee at creamcityradio.com. Stay with us.
Geico has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, Geico could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, Geico has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call Geico for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
It is 30 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love, who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could stay with us. Want to once again thank our friend and first guest, Antoinette Van Houten, for joining us at the top of the show. She's the best-selling author of the book Saving Max, but also the book that I had an opportunity to read, The Tulip Eaters, her brand-new book, an amazing read. I think whether you're into historical fiction or just looking for a book that is really about, I think, the search for truth, I think you'll definitely enjoy this. Another individual that has been very gifted, I think, with being able to tell a great story is our next guest. Dan O'Brien is back with us to talk to us not only about his own literary success, but also what he's been up to since his last visit. He's now helping other people to not only achieve their own dreams, but also to help them along the process as well. We also have to talk about Bitten. It just so happened today is recognized for many as Halloween. We're going to talk about that book and when we might be able to expect a sequel from it as well. Dan, good evening to you, and welcome back to Conversations Live.
Thanks for having me on, Cyrus. I always love being here.
All right, man. Well, look, it's great to have you back. You know, a lot I want to try to cover with you. First of all, I want to talk about this experience for you. Just had a great conversation with our first guest about this. And you are someone who, I have to say, you know, in the past 5 years especially, Dan, you are probably one of the most prolific writers that I have met in quite some time. You know, you not only, it's not just about from, and this is what I've taken after reading several of your titles, it's not just about putting out a new book. You really take the reader on an experience. How important has that been for you as you have gone from book to book, character to character?
Well, first I want to say that's high praise because you interview some writers that I absolutely adore and look up to. But yeah, the experience of writing a book to me should be equivalent to reading it. So as much fun as I have writing it, as much fun as I have world building, I want, in the best way as I can, to convey that to the reader. So maximizing the experience, making it like going to the movies is what I'm always about every time I put, not pen to paper anymore, but when I put keys to keys. But
yeah.
It's definitely about the experience for me, getting that much experience if I can do it.
Well, you know, I think that's what it becomes for the reader, too, Dan. I think the experience is what you enjoy. With Bitten, and I keep going back to it because, you know, what I thought was so interesting about it was the great dialogue. I'm a sucker for great dialogue because I love conversations. So, you know, we have some great dialogue in that book. But also the characters are characters that you kind of take this experience with. You feel like you get to know. You know, I can't even imagine what it's like for you to live with all of these people. You know, from day to day.
Yeah.
But now you've added another layer. Since the last time you were on this program, you now are really hands-on in helping to craft and to coach others along their literary journey. Why has that been so important for you to do, to pay back in that way and to kind of, I guess, to move it forward in doing that?
But paying it forward is what it's all about in a way. But I was listening to the guest you just had on, and right at the end there you asked them, you know, what someone trying to break in should do. And they brought up fantastic points. One of those is getting quality advice, and I felt like with how many self-published books there are anymore and how many small presses, it was kind of really easy to get lost in the fray and not really know what to do next or how to market your book, or at the very, you know, in a very limited sense, how to make the book something a reader's going to want to pick up. So that became paramount to me. Is if I'm a writer, then my constituency, my colleagues are other writers, and I want them to be high quality too. So if I can help them along that journey, give them the confidence to seek out criticism, what you get through reviews, what you get from critical reviews, and what you get from just putting it out there and kind of letting it be the world's product once you're done, you know, publishing it. So
Right. It
just became important within it because I didn't really have that help. I kind of, you know, went at it kind of haphazardly in the DIY and doing it myself, and I kind of made a lot of mistakes, as most writers do. I've been hacking away for a decade and a half, and I started out in high school. So for me, being able to provide advice on any level to help people realize their dreams and publish their dreams, it couldn't be more important.
Yeah. Well, and you've been doing that. And I have to say, you know, that since I first was introduced to you, I think, and this is what I love about consistency, and that is that, Dan, you have been very consistent, not only in the way that you have, you know, shared your own work, but also equally, you know, provided a place through your website, you know, now, of course, through the work that you're doing with authors, to be able to show that kind of support. You know, I think, you know, people need to understand, I know I have had to learn this early on, that we can't do this by ourselves. How important has it been for you to know that you have now, because of your own example, just your example, forget about what you're doing hands-on, but just by your example, that you're helping to encourage someone to keep going?
That's the feeling that you're going for, right? It's so wonderful to know that people can grab onto this idea that you pointed out, which is we can't go at it alone. And if we try to go at it alone, there's a lot of heartbreak in that, a lot of hardship. So we need not to walk on others, but to walk with others towards some goal, some dream that we have. And it's great to know that any kind of example I can set is picked up, even if it's, you know, minute, by someone else.
Yeah. Well, I think that is, again, the key. And then to be able to realize, you know, what you have and what you're able to share, I think that's a great big part of this as well. For those that are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I have Dan O'Brien back with us. He's an individual that is not only creating his own literary brand, but also helping other people to be able not only to find their voice creatively, but also to be able to share that voice. So let's go back to Bitten, that book and the characters. We have talked about this before, but I think, you know, and I kind of teased with this a little bit earlier, you know, these are characters, you know, you are writing, of course, you know, the series, because we know just from, you know, looking at the cover of the book, that this is a Lauren Westlake mystery, so we know there's going to be more. Talk to us about the journey for her, because, you know, not only are you kind of going through this, but she is kind of in the trenches with these characters in these stories. You know, did you, after hearing what people are saying about Bitten, I think now you're, I mean, you have 4 stars with this book on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, were you curious as to where you were going to take her next and where she was going to push you as an author next?
That's the wonderful part about writing, because, of course, there's hubris in the sense that I thought I knew where the character was going and I thought I knew what I wanted to do with her. But after hearing feedback, I realized, wow, some people really like this character, and they kind of wanted to see her do very specific things. So the direction I took her, she kind of evolved out of, I don't want to say a one-dimensional character, but she was kind of this, you know, hard-nosed, intelligent detective. And I kind of see her turning into a Sherlock Holmes type of character, where she becomes more about the mission and more about truth and less about maybe the minutiae of any area that she's in, because what people loved about her was that she was so a strong woman, a strong female character, that while there was a romantic relationship in the book, and you know, because you read Bitten, it wasn't all about that for her. It was all about the pursuit of truth, and so that's an angle that feels important going forward, that I cultivate and that I give the fans kind of what they want. Not, you know, because some fans want some crazy stuff. I got fan feedback, and they want that to go some very interesting ways, and I might not necessarily do that, but in terms of growth of the character and how the character becomes more robust, was almost 100% dictated by, you know, fans like you who wrote wonderful reviews and offered what they liked about it and what they didn't like. And what people don't like is often way more instructive than what they do like. Because I know, well, the character, here's a downfall. Maybe I need to shore this up a little bit. I need to reveal maybe more of her fears to let people know how far this character could go, to let you know where the series might go. But,
right,
you know, definitely grown. She's definitely grown since that first review and the first book sold, however many years ago that was.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about what you just said, though, Dan, is that, and I just thought about this, actually, when you were talking, that it really, I mean, it's Lauren's story. But it's also, I think, as I was saying earlier to our first guest this hour, it becomes our story. Because I think, too, especially we see it with Lauren as the book evolves, that, yes, it is about the truth, but isn't it also about her and also the characters that she meets, about feeling as though they've been validated, not only in, you know, solving the mystery, but understanding why it was taking place in the first place. So kind of understanding, isn't it about a better understanding one another, and that being something we can kind of pick up on, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Truth was kind of where I started, just you know, getting to the core idea, figuring out that mystery. But it did become about the journey of all the characters coming together and not only finding their place, but understanding how they fit. And I did attempt to sketch this really large world where things aren't what they seem. And that's kind of a lesser theme of the novel, but there is this breaking down of what we think the world is. And Lauren, as being this very intelligent person who has very specific ideas about how the world is, it starts to change. She never really believed in supernatural things or that there could be an explanation that wasn't right in front of her face. And so there's this very thinly veiled other theme kind of in the background there that is about finding your place in the world and not understanding the order necessarily, but understanding that there might be an order you don't understand.
Right.
Kind of.
Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of long-winded, but kind of.
Well, yeah, and I think that is something that comes through. I want to say, too, that you have been one of those authors, and, you know, I cannot have a conversation with you, Dan, without bringing this up, that have really, I think, gotten it when it comes to the importance of social media, the importance of using tools like what Amazon does. I mean, all of your books are available very affordably on Amazon.com, which I should say, for full disclosure, is a partner of ours here at Conversations Live, but... You know, the book Bitten is available for less than $3. You have others that are available for 99 cents. You know, why has that been so important for you to kind of not only keep up with the times, just the way a lot of people are reading, but also to make it affordable? Because it is one of the gripes you hear a lot of times, as you know, with some of the quote-unquote larger publishers, that these, you know, ridiculous prices for e-books, basically. Why has that been so important for you to kind of keep that in mind as you are not only writing, but also promoting yourself as an author?
It's equal parts business and personal. From just the business side, when you look at the research, and I'm one of those people that I have to find all the facts. I got to figure out what's going out there, what's the market research. $2.99 is kind of a sweet spot. Books that are $2.99 sell better than books that are $0.99 that are better than $4.99. But the other reason is I don't really feel like people should have to pay a lot for books, not because books don't have value, but because they do have value. I want people to read, and if they read my books, that's fantastic. If they read other books, that's fantastic, as long as they're reading. So if I can make it easy for someone who might have the inclination to read it based on the genre, I want to make it affordable. I want them to have the opportunity to be able to just pick it up, and if they like it, fantastic. If they hated it, they don't feel like they were cheated. So I try to find that a sweet spot. I use sweet spot already. I try to find that, you know, really nice place where I can encourage reading. I can still, it can still be a business for me. I can still live and survive on writing. But to me, it's kind of an intersection of business and just making it affordable for the sake of reading.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the question that I want to know the answer to, because I haven't asked you actually off of the air, and so I know other people want to know too. When can we expect Lauren to return?
Well, I am currently, you know, typing away on Drained, and I'm hoping before next Halloween, possibly a summer release. I don't have a hard and fast date yet, but I would imagine at the very latest by next, you know, a year from today. But I'm hoping for a summer release, something maybe May or June, if I can. I started Drained, but then almost immediately following that, I started to sketch out the third book. Because the second book and the third book, they're not going to have the same villain, but I'm kind of creating a larger villain at a distance that is kind of revealed as not controlling everything, but orchestrating something much larger downstream for Lauren. So that character is going to be present peripherally in the second book and then become a larger part of the third book. So the second and third books are kind of being written at the same time, but there's definitely a lot of relationships between those two books.
Wow. Okay. So a lot for us to be able to keep in contact with, as well as what you're doing for other authors. So this is what I want to do. We're going to let our listeners know how they can stay in contact with you. But let's go through, you know, your company and exactly what services you offer, Dan, and how our listeners may be able to take advantage of that.
Sure. So I started Amalgam last March. And mostly what I do is help either with just basic guidance through the book, but I also do editing, line editing, content editing, and proofreading. I do the formatting for print books or formatting for e-books. And then help you out with marketing, too. Book publicists charge quite a bit of money, and when I act in a book publicist capacity, I also have a per-hour rate. But what I try to help with is just learning the plan of action. How can you get started? What is the things you can do on your own before you reach that ceiling where you really should seek out a professional or seek out seminars or seek out outside help? So it's really helping you to build your platform on both sides. So either, you know, how do we get that book into print? How do you design a cover? And then all the way through, well, how do you market that book? And how do you reach readers? How do you get reviews? How do you contact great radio hosts like yourself to get on the air and be able to actually talk about your book? So the whole spectrum. So there's a little bit for anybody, you know, at any stage of the book that they're at.
Got you. Well, I appreciate that compliment. And I'll tell you, Dan, like I try to tell everyone, I mean, what makes my job so much easier are having guests that are ready, you know, like you. So, you know, it really is a dance, I think. And I think that's the whole thing about life in general. I mean, it kind of is all about a dance. So there are a lot of different services that you have available to be able to reach people where they are, what they need within their budget. So how can our listeners stay in contact with you there and being able to find out more information about the company?
You can go to amalgamconsulting.com. And, of course, because integration is so important in marketing, you can really find everything about everything at any social media with you. So if you follow me on Facebook, you'd see information about all of it. If you went to my blog, you would see information about all of it. But specific to the consulting, specific to helping out with books and marketing, it would be www.amalgamconsulting.com.
Yeah. Well, you know what? So now, as far as, you know, the work, and you have so many books. I know when I was prepping for this segment, Dad, just yesterday, I was thinking to myself, where did these other titles come from? I don't even remember these other titles. But so now I definitely have my work cut out for me. As far as, you know, what is coming up for you next, I know I asked you about the next book with Lauren Westlake. When that was coming out, you said that would probably be about a year. So what else should we be looking forward to from you?
Well, I actually just released a novella yesterday, and it's part of a series I'm putting together called B-Sides, which is kind of like Lost meets The Walking Dead. So it follows a lot of characters in this kind of post-apocalyptic world, but they're all novellas. They're all short works. They're all available for, you know, between 99 cents and $2.99. But they're going to follow, you know, different families and different people at different stages of the apocalypse and how they all converge and then how they all drift apart. And so Water is the one that I released yesterday. It's about 80 pages. It's a short little thing. It's available in print and obviously on Amazon and on Kindle and everything else. But other than that, I have a prequel to Path of the Fallen coming out, hopefully in December. It's already finished. It's going through final edits and beta readers. And I'd like to have it out sooner, but you know, publishing is what it is. And you want to get the best possible product out.
Right.
And then I have another kind of a high fantasy book. You know, dragons and sorcery and something a little bit different, but I wrote it a really long time ago and finally got back to turning it into a novel, and that's called The Portent. And hopefully that'll be out pretty soon because it's also finished. But a lot of stuff novella-wise, I'm trying to encourage other people to do this as well. Just like in the old days where you used to send articles to magazines to try to build your brand, now shorter works kind of satisfy that same market needs. So hopefully there will be a lot of shorter novellas in the B-side series every couple of months.
All right. So definitely something for us to be looking forward to. You know what it kind of reminded me of, though, just hearing you talk about it? When Stephen King did that with Green Mile, when he released one part, then another part, and then another part, and kind of made you wait. Didn't like the wait, but I mean, it definitely helped to build the anticipation as to what was going to come next. So I think that is great.
Absolutely.
We'll definitely be playing catch up. And November is going to be a month where I'm going to take some more me time. So I'll definitely be adding that to my reading list. Dan O'Brien, again, everyone, has been our guest, the author of one of my favorite books, Bitten. Perfect for this time of year, by the way, I should say, as well as a lot of his titles that are out there that I've already read, others that I have to read. There's so many different ones out there that you guys can take your pick, and then you can also help to spread the word. So, Dan, let our listeners know how they can find you and also be able to support your work as an author as well.
Absolutely. I just want to say that you're such a big fan of mine, and it's so humbling because you gave me a shot when I just started out and nobody was taking my calls. So it's just wonderful to hear you say that, and it means a lot that you love my book. It really, really does.
Well, you know,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, one of the great things about the way I was raised in is that I've always told, when you find something that you enjoy, you let the person know,
Absolutely.
That's the way I've always felt. That's just who I am, I guess. And when I was reading your work and I was thinking, wow, I'm really enjoying this. I'm really having a good time. And, what better, thing than to let the author know, hey, I really enjoyed what you wrote, looking forward to what's coming out next. And I think that is, just our obligation, to let people know what we think.
I love that attitude. I wish every single reader on the planet had that attitude. But it's just, so humbling to know that, especially since I know who you've interviewed in the past year and how much your brand has grown and how much Conversations Live has grown. It's just wonderful. And now you have your artwork, and this is wonderful to see how much you're doing and how much you're getting to do what you love. But anyways, that's all. You asked me a question about that. But doing a classic dodge and not doing it. But you can find me on Facebook, Author Dan O'Brien, / Author Dan O'Brien. You can find me on Twitter, @ Author Dan O'Brien. Now, my blog gets a lot of hits, over 100,000 now. That's the Dan O'Brien Project.blogspot. I like to do a lot of interviews with authors. Nothing on the level that you do. Kind of little, a few questions here and there, kind of give people free press and free marketing. And then, of course, you can follow me on the website, www.malcolmconsulting.com. And one more little plug. I started a Northern California publication called The Northern California Perspective, and it features Northern California stories told by Northern California writers. I'm going to be releasing that the second week of November. It's my first publishing venture that isn't me and isn't someone I know. It's a collection of other people's stuff.
Awesome, awesome. Well, look, another way of being able to pay it forward, Dan, and we appreciate you for taking out the time, especially on Halloween, to be able to speak with us. But also, definitely goes without saying, anytime you'd like to come back, the line is always open for you.
I will always come back.
Okay. Well, we will hold you to that. Again, everyone, Dan O'Brien, definitely one of the authors that I have been coming back to time and again over the past couple of years. You definitely want to make sure you guys are checking him out if you have not already. He's all over the place, social media, as he mentioned here, as well as you can go to his website. Make sure you guys stay there, as well as his blog that, as he said, he's really not only talking about himself, but also others as well. Make sure you take advantage of that, too. That's going to do it for us for this part of our show. If you guys came in late and missed part of the conversation, either with Antoinette or Dan, you can catch the entire podcast about 5 minutes after we go off the air by going to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com, or you can find the link on our social media through facebook.com/CyrusWeb or twitter.com/CyrusWeb. Just click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free. Thanks to our friends at Blog Talk, you can actually download it for free as well as an MP3 and also share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and, of course, a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Make it a great night.